That sounds like a lot of money shoplifting, $500 to $1,000 a night.
It happens. That's how they installed the Walmart security system, was because of him.
No, what one guy was doing?
Oh no, it was actually three guys. One was a lookout, and two were the shoplifters.
And how would they get out of the building? I mean,
they'd walk out. They'd come in with baggy clothes, come out with drilling saws, remote control cars. Basically, people would give him a shopping list, and he'd go in and get it for them. CDs, videotapes.
So, in other words, if they needed this money to get more drugs, they would go to somebody that knew that they were stealing this stuff, but they could get it for half price or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And there's certain things that you can do to bring your debt down.
There's certain things you can do what now?
That you can do to bring your debt down.
Oh, with the drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
So they will sell you a little credit.
Yeah, there's some things like there's sexual favors, there's physical favors, you know, just little things that you can do to, you know, buy a little time.
Now, when you owe a drug dealer a lot of money and he's giving you the time, the pressure really gets on to be unmerciful.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people literally drive themselves crazy because of the pressure from a dealer.
And what, does a dealer break their kneecaps or something?
No. It doesn't happen like that, not here in Muskogee.
Well, I mean, how do they how do they make sure they get paid?
It's basically one of those wherever you are, I am kind of deals. If I want my money that bad, I'm going to follow you around and stalk you, basically. See, and if I see you spending money that is excessively, you know, you're going down.
Now, when you say going down,
you're dying.
You're dying?
Or, no, I know this one guy who, he won't hurt you. He will hurt every member in your family until the money comes up.
And he's still alive here in Muskogee? Still walking around?
He lives in Fort Gibson, yes.
Okay, he lives in Fort Gibson, and he literally has hurt other members of the family?
As low as I've seen him go, is $25.
You're telling me there's a guy in Fort Gibson that will harm somebody's family, some kid's family, for $25?
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do to these people? I mean, does he beat them up?
I've seen and I've heard him talk of beating people up, going out to the bar and getting beer bottles and slamming them over his head, people's head.
So, this guy must be a pretty big dude.
Sort of. He's kind of built. I mean, he's nasty.
This guy's first name, could you tell me that?
No.
You can't, okay.
Because if he was listening and he'd know, if he
didn't know who did it.
Know.
Okay. We don't want to get you anymore. I was already afraid for you earlier, so. I just wonder if it's one of the guys I've been talking.
I thought that was bad. Wait till the names come out and I'm gone.
Well, we don't want you to be gone. We want you to be here until you leave town on your own volition and get started all over. Why did you come back to Muskogee? It was just a temporary thing to get out of town to get you fixed, or what?
Well, my mom has adopted two autistic boys, and Muskogee Schools was the best schools for them. So to be able to go to Muskogee School District, we had to be in the district because there were special needs.
So this other town was a smaller town.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to the smaller town, was the drug element less?
Oh my God, no. I think it was like about the same about living in Aberdeen. It was.
Well, percentage-wise, a small town is about the same amount of people. That means even more people are doing it.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, they have parties specifically for drugs. And there's been people that come to my school, high, or drunk, tweaked out. I mean, it's...
Yeah, now, tweaked out was a term I had never heard until Travis told me he was tweaked out one day, and I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. Now, that's evidently a regular term that people use.
Tweaked, geek.
Tweaked, does that mean you're high on acid or what?
No.
What does it mean? Tweaked means you're just out of it.
Basically, same thing as I've already told you about geeking. It's... You're on crank and you're going 90 miles to nothing. You're just going. You can't stop, can't think, nothing.
Just sometimes it's just a little hard to even accept that the stuff happens. But we're talking kids 15, 16, 17, up to 22, 23, 24. And as you mentioned before, you've been at parties, drug parties, where there are guys 50 years old, maybe my age. Maybe nobody that old.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't go that far. Several generations.
Yes, very much so. It's astonishing to see. You figure that the mature adult age, you know, would actually have sense enough. But no, there's actually people in their 50s, you know, up to their 60s who actually do this. And when I saw it my first time, I was like, astonished. I was like, oh my God, you know, I couldn't believe that an elderly, well, not an elderly, I wouldn't go that far, but.
Yeah, watch it. You said how was your
family? Funny. It's just that it's you don't imagine. You, to me, I never imagined seeing somebody in their 50s, early 60s doing drugs. I just never crossed my mind. And when I saw it, I was just in shock.
Well, they were they doing marijuana or the
roots? Oh, they were doing crank. They were doing marijuana, acid. I mean, it was they were the true hippies, I guess.
We'll go back to the phones. The line is now open. 687-1490. If you have a question for Megan, we're talking basically about the drug days and how these kids get indebted and they end up having to do shoplifting and burglaries. And we mentioned before that the pool halls is a good place for it to happen. You just find these drug deals going on everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's truly sad. I mean, it happens at school. And you know, principals can say, well, we control our schools. We know what's going on. No, they don't, because, I mean, I've been there through personal experience, and they don't know what's going on. They can sit there and blow smoke all they want, but there's drug deals that happen at school. They happen, I mean, I hate to say this, but I've seen it happen at church.
A drug deal at church?
Yeah. That's how bad today's...
Hi, you're on the air with Megan and Jerry Pip.
Yes, this is Dennis Wahoo McDaniel again.
Good.
Megan, I'd just like to ask you a question.
Okay.
Since you're off of illicit drugs, and I think you say you were on Thorazine, and that calmed you down and got regulated, are you still on controlled drugs like that anymore?
I quit everything.
She evidently, Wahoo started off on Ritalin or something else in her younger age. We'll let her explain this, but Megan, I guess you came to the conclusion that any drug, prescribed or not, tough to take.
Yeah.
That's what I was fixing to say. You know, I call it controlled drugs on the doctor's prescription or whatever. But anyway, you know, drugs really are not meant for our bodies from the get-go.
Yeah.
And I was just surmising and second-guessing you that a lot of times you probably didn't get to the point where you had a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Wahoo. Now, he's talking about a chemical imbalance in the brain. He's talking about a permanent thing. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, the kids who take Ritalin or anything have a chemical imbalance from the beginning. That's where hyperactivity comes in, learning disabilities, and that's where the controlled, as Wahoo said, controlled drugs. And I agree with him on that. You know, from my experience, I can't really take, I do good to take Advil right now. With my headaches, I can't take Lortab or any kind of prescription pain pill because it's too addictive.
No, you mean like a sinus headache or a headache?
Any kind of headache. I don't have a normal headache now. I used to have, you know, little bitty teeny weeny headaches that, you know, go away if I just close my eyes for 5 minutes. And from my head injury now, it's like a migraine every time I have a headache.
You had to take some medication while you were healing for that.
Yeah, I couldn't. It didn't touch the pain.
Didn't touch it.
The doctors gave me Lortab. They gave me new experimental drugs. Nothing would touch the pain.
Now, we're talking about you getting beat about the head by with rebar.
Mm-hmm.
By Amanda K. Lane and... she, of course, is in jail charged with the first-degree murder of my mother, and her preliminary hearings continue to be here next Monday again. This incident that damaged you, at first, I understand that they had doubts whether you'd ever be normal again.
I'm not supposed to live. I'm not supposed to be here. Every doctor, every neurologist, every bone specialist said that it was a miracle that I didn't just die from it because she hit me on top of the head, of course, and the force of the blow should have cracked my head like an egg. And then from the brain injury itself, I shouldn't even have lived through it. They said I shouldn't even ran down the street like I did.
Now, you ran down there to Granny and Papa's house, I think, and did they call an ambulance? Or?
Yeah. I didn't even know. I mean, I knew I was hit. I didn't feel the pain. Because the one thing, I mean, I can honestly say I remember this. The one thing I can remember saying to myself when I stepped onto her property, I said, God, if you love me like you say you do, protect me. And after that, it's kind of a blur from there.
Well, you probably shouldn't have shown up there.
Yeah, realize this now.
Hindsight's 20/20. And basically, it was all because you had quit drugs, right? That's why we'll be back in a moment with more phone calls. Okay, we were talking with Megan here during the commercial. By the way, it's 8:14 right now, and we'll do the weather here the next break. We normally do it here, but we don't want to keep our phone caller waiting too long. But you're a Don Williams fan, huh?
Oh, big Don Williams fan.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Oh my God.
I got to interview him and ask him if he really wrote Tulsa Time at the.
You're gonna interview him?
Yeah.
Oh,
you can come up and hang out there.
Oh, my God. When I had my open heart surgery, when I was in recovery.
Wait a minute. I didn't know about this open heart surgery.
Yes.
When did you have that?
I was 3 years old.
Okay.
When I had open heart surgery, I was in recovery. And the doctor brought my mom in, and they said, is there anything you want? And with the air tube down my throat, I muttered the words, Don Williams.
Okay, Mel, it's your turn.
Megan, at the endorphins in the brain, I don't know if you've heard them called or not, a THIQ, the feel-good drug. The more you do, the more you have to do to make you feel good. There's a chemical imbalance in the brain, and once you start doing these other drugs to stimulate the THIQs, the feel-good endorphins, you can't get the feeling good unless you
keep doing it
artificially and stimulate them and everything. I learned that. I went to that TAD program up there in Bonita for a DUI, and they talked a lot about that. Psychologist up there said that the more you stimulate them, the more you have to stimulate them.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a long time to get to where so-called being normal again kicks into effect, you know.
Yeah, well, Mel, I guess what you and Megan are saying here is something I've suspected for a while after talking to all these kids. I knew nobody from crank or crack or any of those things at all, but after meeting a lot of these people, they're not thinking properly anymore, and I guess it takes a while after you get off of it if you ever recover.
Oh, yeah, you're not nowhere near your normal state of mind. You'll do things you normally would not ever even think about doing. That's for a fact. Like I said, I was one time I was doing $100 a day worth of it. I was working 7/24s, you know, 24/7s, working on trucks and everything, and it wasn't unusual to do $100 a day and crank. But when I come down, I was asleep for 3 days.
That's the testimony that Troy Newberry gave at the preliminary hearing, was that after my mother was killed, he of course denies that he had anything to do with it, even though he does admit he was parked in the driveway to let Amanda out to go see her mother at her house. Of course, her mother was working. But Troy went home and slept for a couple of days till the cops came by and arrested him. So, and questioned him. So, I mean, yeah, I guess you can do anything and then just come down.
Yeah, I mean, you'll sleep for 2, sometimes even 3 days. You'll just be almost dead on the couch, wherever you fall out at, you know.
Now, Mel, how did you beat this habit? They incarcerated you. Was that the way you beat it?
No, it wasn't. My stepfather, I love him dearly, he told me to move out of the house. And I said, what is it you need, just more money or what? I said, I'll give you money. I said, here's $100. And he said, no, it ain't the money I want. He said, have you ever looked at yourself? He said, just look in the mirror. He said, look at yourself. I looked in the mirror, and for the first time, I actually realized that my eyes were all drawn back in my head, and I'd lost 45 pounds of weight, and I looked like crap, man. And I realized that, he told me, you're killing yourself, boy. And he said, I don't want to watch you die. He said, I'd rather you move out than see you die. And I realized the old man was right. And I loved him enough to take his words and advice, I got to change.
Thank you very much, Mel.
Man.
Okay,
you know.
Bye-bye.
That is great.
So basically, you faced a similar situation. You realized what had happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So your stories were kind of similar.
Yeah. I lost a lot of friends, though.
And did you ever get these friends back, or they just don't trust you yet?
I don't really remember who they are.
Okay.
I got a couple friends who stuck with me through the hard times. And
yeah, I mean, on top of the drugs, you had the beating as well.
Yeah.
So you had a triple.
I had the double effect of everything.
Mm-hmm. But both of you are telling similar stories, that if a person really, I guess, hits bottom and realizes what's happening to them.
It doesn't take much for that person to bounce, if they really, I really can't really explain it, but I mean, it doesn't take much after they realize for themselves. I mean, you can sit there all day and tell an anorexic person, you know, you're not fat, you look beautiful, you're normal, and they're just going to, no, I'm fat. They see fat. And when an anorexic person realizes that they're not fat, if they ever do, really, then it's not hard for that person to bounce back. But a tweaker on the same effect, you know, if they realize it
themselves.
There's that word again. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
The methamphetamine
that's the
user.
We need to understand.
But when the methamphetamine user realizes for himself that, hey, I hit an all-time low, it doesn't take a long time for that person to bounce back. But you could sit there, you know, talk to the breeze. I mean, tell that person all day for 24 hours, 7 days a week. You know, you're killing yourself, blah, blah, blah. Your eyes are sunk. You look like crap, you know. And it's, until that person realizes it for himself, you're talking to the wind.
So in other words, they have to come to the realization.
You can tell a know-it-all some things, but you can't tell them all.
Mm-hmm. Good saying.
My mom tells me that every day.
We're talking with 17-year-old Megan, who is going to graduate from high school with positive. That grade's in the mail, and it's going to come back fine. She was a drug user and had horrible stories. We've talked about females selling their bodies. You've seen that? Seen all of that?
I've seen babies conceive for drugs.
The last time we were on is some woman called up and said basically if for no other reason these girls need to think about the results of these crack babies. I mean,
these little innocent beings. I mean, they don't know the effects that they're going to have when they grow up. And you see these babies on the news, you know, a parent dropped them off on the doorstep of a hospital, or, you know, they're found out in the middle of the highway or on the side of the road, and they shake. All they can do is cry. They want that attention. They want the drug, and they can't, you know, it's really sad. And then half of them grow up retarded, you know, just different things. Deformed. I mean, a major thing is deformity.
When, you know, these boys that have the drugs give it to the girls, at that point in your...
Well, it's not all just the girls' fault, too. I mean, guys need to think that it's the drugs are in their sperm, and it's going to take a long time. I mean, they can be a clean for 2 or 3 years, and it still affects them because it's in their sperm.
In fact, there's still a lot of studies going on about that, and we're just not sure exactly how long it lasts. It may be permanent. We don't know. You know, the sperm is manufactured on a daily basis, but it does have a lingering effect. In fact, the drugs do all kinds of things to people's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, we're talking about sexual things, we're talking about all kinds of diseases.
Well, see, my fiance is 4 points from being a genius on the IQ scale. And he was a heavy, I mean, he shot crack cocaine into his jugular vein, trying to kill himself. I mean, he was a really heavy, heavy drug user. And
did you know him at that time?
No. And there's a very big possibility he's being tested right now that he won't be able to have kids now because he's Bobby Searle.
That's the reason you kind of looked the other way when I said you might be a mother someday.
I mean,
this guy, it was a genius, smart guy, started using drugs. He straightened his life out. He's a career person in the military now.
Mm-hmm.
He's lucky he was able to get in there.
Yeah. I mean, it was his mom that basically saved his life because he moved away to Texas and got into satanic crap. And his mom pulled him away and said, hey, you know, look at yourself. Basically, an eye-opener like our caller and like me. You know, look at yourself. Look what you're doing, you know. And then about the time he was going to join the military wouldn't take him because of his knee. He has a blown-out knee. And he was all depressed. He was fixing to go back to the drugs. And then I showed up. And so everything just kind of evened out there.
So he was able to figure a way to get in.
Oh, I can. I mean, I've never been so proud of anybody in my life. The first time that we were both offered drugs, I mean, we were offered crank and weed in one day, in actually 15-minute time span. And I just turned around and walked away from it. And him being, you know, I've been clean longer than he has. And I was so proud of him because he fought. I mean, he literally, you can see him shaking.
He
started going into a cold sweat. He was licking his lips. He wanted it so bad. And he looked at me and he said, I'm doing this for me, and I'm also doing this because of you. And he turned around and hit the guy.
We're talking with 17-year-old Megan, and the message is, don't get hooked. Don't try it the first time.